In the name of Jesus, amen. It is one of the oldest temptations, and it's a temptation that leads to many other temptations. Did God really say? Did God really say that? That's what the serpent used on Eve in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say that you weren't supposed to eat of any tree in the garden? And Eve gives a good response to the serpent. She says, well, we can eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God said we shouldn't eat of that or we're going to die. The serpent ramps up the temptation. Now he doesn't just cast doubt on God's word. He calls God a liar. You're not going to die. God knows that when you eat of that fruit, you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. And the Bible tells us that Eve saw that the fruit of the tree, whatever kind of fruit it was, we don't know, but she saw it was pleasing to the eye. It looked good. Plus, it had the promise of making her smarter. And you know what happened. She took some and ate it, and she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it, and as they say, the rest is history. Sin made its way into our world, bringing death and destruction that has affected all creation and all people ever since. Jump forward several thousand years, and we hear the Apostle Paul write these words to the young pastor Timothy. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Sounds like what we hear in the news every day. Describes what we see all around us on a regular basis, and also that which we see in ourselves. Pride, greed, selfishness. There's nothing new under the sun. Written some 2,000 years ago, and then Paul tells Timothy it's going to get worse. 2,000 years ago he said it was going to get worse. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then that voice of doubt creeps in. Oh, come on, it's not really that bad. Look at all the good things we have. We have warm clothes, we have nice homes, we have restaurants to eat in, places to go and enjoy ourselves. Life's pretty good. Word of God, why listen to that? Just takes the fun and enjoyment out of life. It all sounds a bit depressing. Can you hear the question behind all of that? Did God really say that? We hear Jesus declare, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe and obey all that I have commanded you. Jesus tells us how people become disciples and followers of his. They are baptized and they are taught to obey all that he has commanded. That voice of doubt creeps in. Oh, that's not really what he meant. What he meant was, you know, just go to church. And it really doesn't matter what church. Just go to a church and try to be good, at least what you think is good. Isn't that what God really meant to say? It happens so subtly, so easily. We justify our actions, our behavior, our thinking. You know, it's not really that bad. Everybody else is doing it. You don't want to be one of those fanatics. You don't want to stick out. It's really not that wrong, is it? And before you realize it, you find yourself thinking just the opposite of what God says. And then we try to justify that. Well, you know, it's how you interpret the Bible, and everybody interprets it differently, and we're not supposed to judge, and aren't we supposed to love everyone? You can have your perspective, I'll have my perspective. Why don't we just live and let live? Do you hear the temptation behind all of that? Did God really say that? What does God really say? Well, praise be to God, He tells us. Not only does He tell us, He shows us. He wraps up His Word and gives it to us in His Son, our Savior Jesus. He doesn't leave any doubt or uncertainty. He declares, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Did God really say that? Yes, He did. That's why it's called the gospel. Gospel means good news. It's not good suggestions, it's not good thoughts or good ideas, it is good news. The proclamation of that word of God, which we often doubt and don't pay attention to, announces that there is hope for lost and condemned sinners like us. There's that hope and promise of being saved. And not only is that promise proclaimed in good news, it's actually written down for us. So when we ask that question, did God really say? We can check it out. It's written down. We hear Paul write to Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." God has blessed us with a word not only to hear, but to read. And the Word of God does what it promises it will do. It promises to lead us to life and to that joy which is given to us in Christ. And the Word of God has the power to do that very thing because God's Word is different than any other word. God's Word, the Scriptures, are breathed out by God. There is power in that Word. And that's why it does things differently than any human word could ever do. That's why Paul tells Timothy, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." The Word of God is living and active. And so that Word of God has the power to crush a human heart. It has the power to break hearts of stone like a hammer, that it might speak words of healing and restoration, that it might heal and regenerate. Because the power of God's Word leads us to salvation, and if we will let ourselves be led, it is a light unto our feet and a light unto our paths. But that doesn't mean the Word of God works irresistibly. You can despise God's Word. You can cast it aside. But even then it still works. Then it works judgment and hardness on the human heart. And we have to pray against that. Because sometimes we have the attitude, "Oh, I've heard that all before. That's nothing new." And we despise God's Word. And we think that our life is found somewhere else. Whenever you come to church, pray that God would open your ears to hear the gospel. And say, Lord, help me to hear what I need to hear this day and not despise it. Whenever we open our Bibles and have devotions, pray a short prayer, Lord, remind me that you are speaking to me through this word and help me to understand what you are saying to me. Help me to receive it not for my judgment, but for my benefit, that I may know how much you love me and what you've done for me. And as we pray those things, God works through his word to do what he promises he will do, to refresh, renew, and restore us. And he does that through his word, which not even the gates of hell can destroy. That our Lord promises, and that our God has said. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.